It's good to see all of you here today. We've had quite a rainy week, haven't we? Last Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I was in a senior adult revival meeting at Beach Street Baptist Church in Texarkana, Arkansas. We had a wonderful time, and several of you all came. I want to commend you for doing that. We had several from Nashville who drove down one day for the revival meeting. We had several from my old church, Highland Park in Texarkana, that came over, as well as a lot of folks from Beach Street and the area. I was well pleased with the attendance both Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday mornings. It's a good time to have a senior adult revival in the morning, 10:30 till noon, and then have a nice lunch after that and fellowship. So that's what we did this week. And then, of course, we had Wednesday night service here, had a good crowd, a good prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And then I did the nursing home at 10 o'clock Friday morning, like I do every Friday. So been able to preach and teach all week long, and it's a blessing. And it's a joy to be here with all of you today. We have 86 in worship service today. Praise the Lord for all of you that came. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And then the next Sunday is Easter. And I cannot believe it. It slipped up on me. And I don't know whether it slipped up on you all or not. Last Easter, we had an Easter musical. We didn't do one this time. And we'll probably do one for Christmas, for the Christmas season. But we hope that you'll think about next Sunday. We're having the Easter egg hunt for the children. Last year, that was such a fun thing, and it happened to be a beautiful Sunday afternoon. We'll have a potluck meal, so just bring a lot of good food next Sunday when you come to Sunday school and church, and then we'll go over there and eat together, and then we'll all go out and see the children as they hunt for the Easter eggs after that. So it'll be a fun time, and then, of course, the next Sunday will be that glory hallelujah day of Easter Sunday, and we're looking forward to that as well. If you have your Bible, would you take it and turn with me this morning to Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. I want to begin reading with verse 14 and read through verse 17, Ephesians 5. Wherefore he saith, awake you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. That's a mouthful, isn't it, to say that, circumspectly. We don't ever say that any time except reading the Bible, I don't think. That you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Today, we changed our clocks. Well, we did last night. Before we went to bed, we changed them, and we sprung forward, didn't we, an hour. I always do mine early in the evening, so about 5 o'clock I was setting it, so we just went along as that's the normal time for the evening. But I was thinking about the subject of time, and that's why I chose this particular scripture, Ephesians 5. 16, redeem the time. On my bookshelf by my desk in my study there at home, on the desk I have this little picture of Billy Graham laying there. And it shows him in his old age, and he's got his glasses in his hand and his Bible open as though he's studying the Bible. And it has a quote from Billy Graham, and he says this, "The greatest surprise in life to me is the brevity of life. Brevity means short, not very long. So Billy Graham says, the greatest surprise in life to me is how short life really is. And I would agree, in my own life, I look at it that way. Life is very short, but it's very precious. And that's why Paul tells us in the scripture here in Ephesians 5, 16, that we ought to redeem the time. What is time? I believe time is a gift. It really and truly is. And we need to look at it as a gift that we have been given. Someone has said it's a gift, that's why we call it the present. I guess so. Time is a gift from God. In Psalm 90, and this is a very important Psalm 90, Psalm 90, we often read this psalm at funeral services, and this is not a funeral today. Of course, we might have yours tomorrow or the next day. We never know, do we? Life is so short. But in Psalm 90, beginning at verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. I guess 70 years and 10. How many is that in our language? 70. That's why I like the modern translations, because I don't speak that kind of language. 70 years and 10. That's over in England or somewhere else. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, now how many is that? 80. I got 5 more to go to reach that. Some of y'all have already reached it, hadn't you? If by reason of strength are they be 80 years or 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I guess that's where that song title comes from. I'll fly away. Do you reckon? Not many places in the Bible it would come from, so that looks like it might be. We're going to live, and if we live 70 years or 80 years, then we're going to fly away. I'll fly away. So verse 12, now notice. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And above it I wrote, yes, Lord, help me to do that. Help me to realize how valuable my life is. Every day is a precious gift. Every day is a trust or a grant. In the Bible, we are said to be stewards. And a steward is, we don't use that word very much. If you're in the Methodist church, you use it a lot. He's a steward in our church. Stewardship is where that word is found. Stewardship, one who takes care of other things. And so time is a trust, and we're stewards of time. Look at Proverbs 27. Do a little Bible study here this morning. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Yeah, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, do we? A couple of people in here is having surgery in the morning. I know Jennifer is, and Jan back yonder is having some tomorrow. And maybe some others of you. We never know. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. That reminds me of that passage over there in James chapter 4 and verse 14. In James 4:14, it says this. Come now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the next day. For what is your life? That's a good question, isn't it? That's what we're trying to talk about today. Time and our life. What is your life? Well, it says here, it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. A vapor, like the fog. We drove through the fog to church this morning from down in Nashville, and it got pretty heavy. As a matter of fact, several places you could hardly see the car coming. It was so foggy. But now then, the sun is out, the vapor has vanished, it has lifted. And so James says that our life is like that. It is very short, it is brief. As Billy Graham said, the brevity of life. For what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away. You ought to say, I should always say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. That is not good. That's evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, James says that if we leave God out of the equation, it's a sin in our life. So while I think I may do something tomorrow, I don't know that I will. Most of us will go to work tomorrow, but you don't know for sure that you will, do you? It's right and proper to say, if the Lord wills, I'm going to go to work in the morning. If the Lord is willing, I'm going to get up out of bed in the morning and do whatever I need to do. But it's important to realize that we do not have control over our lives. Some people take control over their life, of course, and they take it. I was called yesterday by a preacher friend in Nashville, and he said, could you possibly come with us at 4:30? We're all going to walk around the schools here in Nashville and pray. And he said, we're trying to get as many of the preachers and laymen, laywomen, to walk around the schools and pray. And I said, well, what is that about? Why are y'all going to do that? We usually do it, see you at the poll in September, but it's not September, is it? Unless I missed out. He said, well, it actually is. We've been having so much suicide. We've been having so many people talk about suicide. It's been such a topic of discussion around the schools that the teachers are all concerned about young people talking about that subject. And so says, we feel like as community leaders, we ought to pray hard about that for our students and our teachers. Boy, I didn't know that. Maybe the same thing is true at Derek's. I don't know that. But isn't it terrible? And so what led me to think about that is some people don't want to leave it up to God. They decide they're going to leave it up to themselves and they do away with their life. That's always a choice we have. It is an option, but it's a bad choice. Oh, it's a bad choice. It's a bad choice for the one who commits suicide, but it's a terrible choice. Worse for those left behind. If you want to realize that it's a bad choice for you, but it's a worse choice for those around you because they're the ones who are going to have to deal with it, not you. And so it's a terrible, terrible sin against the family, the community, the school, our loved ones. It's a terrible thing. We ought to always realize that life is in the hands of God and leave it there to Him and let Him have the say-so about when we will leave this earth and fly away. Time is given to us as a gift. Time flies. It does. It flies fast. I can't believe how quickly my years have gone. And probably you all are saying the same thing. It just seems like that, doesn't it? And it's gone. But someday time will end. Look in Hebrews. Over here in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It's close to James, isn't it? Hebrews 9, 27. The writer of Hebrews says, "And as it is appointed unto men and women once to die, but after this, the judgment." So this tells us that death will come to all of us. It is appointed unto men once to die. Appointed, as though there might be an appointment. We don't know about all of that. But the word appointed does make us think that there might be an appointed time. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto those that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It is appointed unto us once to die, and after that, the judgment. You know, the moment that we're born, we begin to die. Now, you say, "Brother Dave, you sure are kind of morbid up there this morning." I don't mean to be morbid. That's just a truth, isn't it? We realize that from the moment of birth, we begin gradually to die. We know that's true. Sometimes we sing the song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Now, I feel pretty much at home in this world, and probably you do too. As a matter of fact, I feel right at home. A lot of people don't, and a lot of people get all depressed. They get into deep depression because they don't feel at home in this world. There's a sense in which we're supposed to feel at home. The Lord has given us this life. He's given us this time. It's a gift. I love to live. Don't you? I love to live. I love the world in which I live. And I should. Something's wrong up here when we get to the place that we don't love to live in this world. And so it's maybe illness or depression, or all of our loved ones have gone and we're just sick and tired of this whole thing. All of those things are there. But those of us who are healthy and in our minds, and our minds are right, we love the world. We love the mountains and the trees. We love... My soul, I wish I'd have been with David this week. Out there catching all those fish, Dave. My goodness. He come in telling me, he said, "Whoppers. Big old things. Love it, don't you? What greater fun than that? Out there catching those big fish on the lake." And all of us, we loved, and that's normal. God wants us to be that way. But we also realize, when we think very soberly about this, that this world is not our home. There's one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. What are we to do with the time that we have? Well, I think we're to make progress, and we're to make progress in our life. As a matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 3, there is that scripture that we often read at New Year's. Philippians 3, verse 13. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:13, "My brothers I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul the Apostle said, I press on. I reach forward, pressing on to the goal. He said, I keep focused. That word focus is really important too, isn't it? They make a car these days called a Focus. I saw that on a car the other day, a little bitty car, Focus. But we know what it means to focus, don't we? To focus on, the coaches are always telling the athletes of us, keep focused, keep focused. And when you do something wrong, get over it. Let it go. Let it go. Keep focused. Because if you don't, you're really going to mess up. Mess up the whole team. Probably mess up the whole chance of winning. So keep focused. When our granddaughter played softball all those 12 years, we missed that. Her mother and us, we all together recently, and we said, boy, we miss those softball games we had for 12 years. My, we miss them. The thing was to let it go if you make a mistake, if you falter, if you do something wrong. Just forget about it. Go on as quick as you can. Get yourself together. And that's good advice for all of us, isn't it? It's good for a wife and a husband. It's good for a husband and a wife. It's good for children. It's good for all of us. Keep our focus. I'm supposed to see Dr. Teed Tuesday. Because, boy, things aren't very focused. I'm getting to where I'm having trouble. I've had a cataract surgery. He did one of them 2 or 3 years ago. And now I need another one. I wish I could have it tomorrow, Tuesday. But can't. I guess it'll be the next Tuesday, maybe. But I'm ready to see more clearly, for things to be better focused. So we need to keep focused. We also must have faith. We must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to make progress with the days that we have, with the time that we have. Most of you all have got acquainted with my wife, Anna, these 4 years. Has it been 4 years? Good night. For some of y'all, it seems like 24, doesn't it? That we've been here. Seems like to me we've been here too. But you've got to know her. She is a list-oriented person. She's always been. Our boys joked about it. They still do. Mom's list. Even when they were little, she had a list. And they joke about Mom's list. I don't ever make a list. That's why I have so much trouble. But actually, in our marriage, she makes my own list. So she has her list and my list. And on the cabinet, even right now, there's a list there for this coming week. She has Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and she has me and David and so forth. That helps a lot. And I would imagine it'll get more so. The older I get, most of us get to where we really do need some guidance and help. But there is that list. Stay focused. Have faith. That's called time management, isn't it? Some people take courses of time management. You do it if you have employees and others. You want them to know how to use their time wisely. It's important that we do that. There are people out there that we're to meet. Sometimes we kind of run away from that and we want to be so much by ourselves, and there's a need to be alone. There's a need for us to have times by ourselves. But I believe, as Henry Blackaby, and you know who Henry Blackaby was, Experiencing God, he wrote that study and one of our most popular Christian writers among Baptists, Henry Blackaby. But he said, we must always be obedient to where the Lord is leading us and to what the Lord wants us to do. And while we may say, I don't believe I really want to see this guy or see this person or get involved with this person, it may well be that the Lord is leading us to get involved in the life of that individual or that group of individuals, and to not do it, we become disobedient. And of course, Blackaby says, there's nothing worse in the Christian life than disobedience. And the hymn writer said, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Get involved in life. I was at the gas station where I buy gas day before yesterday. And the guy that drives one of Dickie Hendry's big old gas trucks, good night. He was filling his tank with gas there. And so when I went to put my card in the place, he handed me a peppermint, one of those little round peppermints. We've had them around. And I said, how neat. He said, here. I said, thank you very much. He said, for years I've had the habit, I keep my pocket full of peppermints. And said, I pass them out to people. He said, I nearly always get a smile. And sometimes it opens up doors for me to get acquainted with folks. So I introduced myself to him. And now I kind of know the fellow. And I thought, what a good thing to do. Here's a guy. I don't know what all he's done in his life, but right now he drives a big gasoline truck. And he gives peppermint candy to folks to get a smile out of them and maybe to meet them. My brother retired this past 2 months ago after 50 years working at a feed store in Decatur, Texas. My brother's 73. He sent me the clipping out of the Wise County Messenger, had his picture in there. They did a little story. I mean, after all, 50 years, same job, everybody who bought feed, everybody who cows and horses, and now goats are a big thing among some of the populace. Everybody knows him. But I didn't even know my own brother. I guess it said for 50 years, he was known as the Tootsie Roll Man. Every child that came into that place got a Tootsie Roll from Mr. Blaze. I said, Olin, you never gave me a Tootsie Roll. At least I don't remember that. But I thought that's pretty neat that even the people around where he lived, they knew that here he was all of these years. The children couldn't wait to come in to get a Tootsie Roll. Some little thing. But meeting people is so important. And there are people we need to meet in the time we're given. Make the most of our time. You see, we can mark time. We can waste time. We can kill time. And some pretty good. But a Christian redeems it. Child of God, like we profess to be, we redeem the time. We make good use of the time because we realize we have this hour right here today. We'll never have this time again. Never again. I love, Mike, when you have us to shake hands with everybody as a kind of a greeting. That's fun. That's good. We need to do that a lot. And that's very good. Because we're never all going to be together again, just exactly like this. It's special times, precious times that we have. We need to seize every opportunity that we have. I'm thinking about 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, that is, with Jesus, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I heard a sermon, Mike, you love Adrian Rogers, and I heard him this week talk about time, and that was one of his main points. He had about 4 points to his sermon, and his last point was, it is time to be saved. And if we use and make good use of our time, we are going to be saved. Now is the time to be saved. We never know about tomorrow. We don't know what's going to take place. But we do know that we have right now. And so the question that I ask myself, and hopefully you'll ask yourself, am I really saved? Am I a child of God? When was I saved? Do I really know that I am a child of God and that I really am saved? Do I really believe and know for sure that if I were to die this afternoon, I would go to heaven and to be with the Lord Jesus? Nothing's more important than that, is it? A lot of things that are important, but nothing's more important than that. So I hope that today, I know what I think about myself. I believe that I am saved. I believe I'm a child of God. I believe that when I was 12 years old, Jesus came into my heart and saved me. Was that Tuesday with John and DeWitt when y'all were at that revival? I gave my testimony. That was, I talked about my salvation experience in that sermon time. I believe that was it. Some of them came up afterward and said, thank you so much for giving your testimony. Of course, y'all had already heard it, but those people hadn't heard it before. But when I was 12, Jesus came into my heart. And I believe that I was saved then, and I'm saved today. That's a blessed assurance. And I would hope that all of us in this room would have that kind of assurance. And that if I were to talk with you privately, one-on-one, and ask you, if you were to die this afternoon, do you believe you'd go to heaven? I hope that you would say, yes, preacher, I believe that I would. And if I were to say to you, well, how do you know that? How do you know that? Well, I know that because one day I realized I was a sinner. I realized that Jesus was the Savior. I repented of my sin. I confessed Him as Savior, invited Him to come into my heart, and I know that He did. I hope that every one of us in this room today could say that. You know, if you can't say that, you could before the day is over, before the service is over. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment, and you could invite Jesus into your heart today. And if you don't have the assurance, if you could not say to me, Brother Dave, I know that I'm saved. Jesus is in my heart. You need that assurance. I talked about Billy Graham a while ago, didn't I? He's always in his crusades, he's always saying, if you want to know how to be saved, or if you want to have assurance, that's what he always calls it, assurance of your salvation, when the invitation is given, come forward and someone will talk to you and help you to know. I hope that when we leave the service today, that all of us will know for sure that Jesus is in our heart. If you don't know that, why don't you make the decision today? Let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this morning and for the time that we've had together with each other and with You. And Lord, we know that you speak through your word. You spoke to us today. I pray that if any are here who are being convicted that they're not really saved, that they would be saved today. Help them to know that just as they are, they can invite you to come into their life, and because of what you did on the cross of Calvary, they can be saved. I pray for those who need to be baptized. They know they're saved already, but they haven't been baptized. I pray for them. I pray for others who are coming to the church and they would love to be a member of this congregation. I pray that you'll help them to come and join the church today. And Lord, there may be some of us, probably a bunch of us, who are very ashamed of the life and the days and the hours that we've lived, the time that we've been spending this week. And we realize we need to come and rededicate ourselves to you and turn our lives over to you. I pray that you would lead us by your Spirit now. In Jesus' name, amen.